Hi, this is Jeff Siegel, a wine curmudgeon. My guest today is Ray Del Muro of Refreshed Glass in Arizona. And we're going to talk about one of my all-time favorite subjects, which is wine bottles and recycling. Ray, thank you very much for doing this.
Thanks for having me on.
So before we get started, one of the things that I was interested about when I saw the thing about your company is that you also understand that there's a problem with old and empty wine bottles, and you have a unique solution to it.
We absolutely do.
And how does that work?
Well, when I started 15 years ago, I was rescuing bottles from restaurants and bars and hotels in the back of my 4Runner, and then transforming those bottles into useful products like drinking glasses, vases, self-watering planters, candle holders, and such out of my garage. And so in the years since, now I've acquired the only automated equipment that I've ever heard of, and I'm around this industry a lot in North America to do this process at volume, and we sell thousands of them per day.
And you're still just getting in Phoenix, Tucson?
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Right, Tempe technically, but yeah, the greater Phoenix area.
So the sense is the bottles still come just from that area, and you can make and you're doing a nice business with this, or have you figured out a way to get more than just from the Phoenix area?
The second one. So, I mean, for the vast majority of our history, we have primarily focused locally with the box truck, you know, driving around to different, mostly B2B venues. So in the liquor alcohol world, on-premise, off-premise, you know, so for on-premise is where it's consumed on site. So hotels and restaurants primarily, you know, it makes less stops, but I mean, we have rescued from the public as well. But I mean, to more specifically answer your question, we work with various recyclers and the wine industry, and now we're starting to get recycled bottles by the truckload.
Okay. But that, to me, that's the fascinating part, is you've got this huge operation going and you're still basically just picking up old glass bottles, old glass wine bottles from the Phoenix area.
No.
Oh,
no. Okay. We're getting them for all over the country.
Oh, okay.
And by the truckload.
Oh, even better then. And how long has that been going?
Well, mostly the West Coast, to be specific.
Okay.
I have to pop for shipping, and shipping from California to Arizona is much cheaper than from Vermont. So
I can understand that. And how long have you been able to get up to that scale where you're taking bottles from other parts of the country?
From other parts of the country is actually fairly recent, the last year or two.
Okay.
It's a function of economics as well. I mean, I always use the orphan analogy, you know, where if I only have so many beds, I can only take so many kids, you know, and
gotcha.
My kids now are, you know, 14 ounce, 750 milliliter wine bottles, you know, and so a function of being able to sell, produce, make, all factored in to that equation. And it's only been recently, since we started to get really, really good at putting other people's logos on our glasses so that they can share as the hero of the story. I mean, we kind of made a transition strategically during COVID to focus on the promotional products market,
mm-hmm.
and switch from Refresh Glass being Luke Skywalker, you know, to
right.
us being Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, giving other corporations, schools, government entities, and everyone, you know, charities, everyone in between, the ability to use our glasses as, you know, they're sounding more that they're walking the ego talk, because what we do is very real and we get a lot of press. So we're very third party validated.
Gotcha. So talk to me a little bit about why glass is so little recycled. And again, this is fascinating to me, because as somebody who drinks a fair amount of wine, because of course I do drink professionally, in fact, they're coming tomorrow to pick up the recycle here in Dallas, and the wine bottles are sitting out on the thing on the curb right now.
Sure.
Why is glass so little recycled? That's always baffled me.
Yeah, actually, the answer is quite simple. So the entire recycling market works off of commodities pricing. So every material has a street value. So recycled glass is called cullet. And new materials for glass, sand, and, you know, limestone and whatnot is called batch. So for recycling glass, it's incredibly difficult because as compared to other commodity materials, raw materials like aluminum, plastic, and the paper cardboard industry is called fiber. It's called the fiber industry. It's just that all the everything pulp. So whether it's paper or cardboard, that can be bundled, wire wrapped, or palletized. Okay. Glass cannot. Glass has to be separated into three different colors. You have to remove the foreign object debris, which is caps, corks, and labels, right? And then you have to take a bulldozer, like transformer size, you know, big boy size, you know, and dump it into a container that's open on the top and then cover it. So not only is it difficult to collect, difficult to container, heavy to transport, expensive to decontaminate for the corks, the caps, and the labels. But it's also made from the most plentiful material on earth, which is like sand.
Right.
Don't quote me on the most plentiful, but there's a lot of sand
right.
around. You know, right. So for more a myriad a of reasons, that the real conversation is, what is the price of batch compared to the price of color?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Once you understand the economics and the difficulty to separate, collect, decontaminate, and transport. And in addition to that, glass production factories can be in the billions because you're basically like, think of lava tubes. You know, the melting temperature of soda lime glass is 1386 Fahrenheit. Okay. So what that means is that in order to get it melted, and that's just where it starts to melt and flowing, you're talking something in the range of 2000 degrees. And facilities that are prepared to flow that type of glass lava basically are expensive. Mm-hmm. And because the volumes that they need to do, you know, Gallo glass, a couple million bottles a day in Modesto and OI and a lot of other big boys, it's no small endeavor. So there's not a glass production plant in every city or every state even.
Gotcha. So in other words, part of the problem with recycling is the same problem with glass as a wine bottle, which is glass as a container for wine, is that it is so big, it is so bulky, that works against it in terms, just like it's a whole lot easier to ship, it's a whole lot more economically and environmentally feasible to ship a six-pack of beer than it is a case or the similar equivalent of wine. The same problem then exists for recycling, is that glass is just heavy and it's difficult to work with instead of cans, or you just got to squish. Am I on the right track here?
Right. I mean, cans you can cube, you know, and think about just like crushing a car, you know, metal, aluminum is kind of processed the same way. And then aluminum has the same problems too, just with the printing. Is considered a contaminant for their processes. You know, that's why they like industrial aluminum better, like aluminum siding, you know, window frames, whatnot. So once you understand the scenario of the cost to collect it, the cost to separate it, the cost to decontaminate it, and then the logistics associated with getting it to where it can be reprocessed, the price between new material from the earth, which is a linear cycle, you know, from the earth used and produced, thrown away back into the earth, you know, to circular economy, which is closed loop, you know, just think right. The difference between a line and a circle.
Right. So what, as a wine drinker, what can I do? What can the people who are listening to this to do? Because I have very dedicated readers. What can we do to make it easier for glass recycling? I mean, is it buying buying recycled products like yours? Is it making sure we take the cork off and throw it away before we recycle the bottle?
That does help the cork cap separation process. You know, I think the best answer to your question, that there's a couple different ways to go about it, whether from a B2C, like a home consumer side, or a business side, there's different options. So what I would recommend for someone who's drinking at home would be to put the wine back in the cases and find a recycler who can take them. Not all recyclers are even taking glass anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's half of the challenge here, is working with the commodities market to provide a value for glass, because since China stopped accepting our recycling, you know, it's really tanked a lot of the commodities market pricing. And I keep on coming back to this because once you understand it, a lot of people ask me about recyclability in terms of they want to recycle because the way that it makes them feel, but they ignore the economics of the realities of how millions of tons of raw materials gets purchased and moved and why some materials are recyclable and why they aren't, which is why I'm leaning so heavily on economics in my responses. But really what I'd recommend that people do is there are many stories, some of which I sent you some links to today, right, of different municipalities who found a way to create positive fiscal value from recycled glass by crushing it, because crushed pulverized glass can be used, you know, that people have used it in concrete and countertops, you know, as sandbags. There's a lot of value added ways that you can use it. Or I'm working now, and I can't let the cats out of the bag, but I will be working with people in the wine industry and potentially different retail locations on closed loop systems for bottles that are going to come to us, because in the foreseeable future, we'll go from doing hundreds of thousands of bottles a year to millions. So the answer to that is to find organizations. Like I read somewhere today that a bottle crusher you can get for under 10 grand, you know, and if it's advertised that they can be used as sandbags, fill for various types of inert operations, you know, construction, especially, there's a lot of different various uses for inert, whatever.
Gotcha.
You know,
it almost sounds as if you almost have to readjust the way your brain, your mind thinks, approaches glass recycling. I'm old enough that when I was a kid, we recycled newspapers, we recycled glass bottles, and newspapers were turned into paper, right? And glass bottles were turned into glass bottles. And what you're telling us is that we're now in a situation where that hasn't, I know it hasn't been economically feasible for paper for years, but it's now we're getting to the point where it's not economically feasible for glass to turn old glass into a glass bottle again.
It is. It actually is. So I work directly with Strategic Materials, who's the largest glass recycler in the United States. They move millions of tons of glass every year from recycling centers and various other collection facilities. And we actually have a bin behind our facility, a 22 yarder, you know what I mean, that we fill up multiple times a month that goes to them because I know it's going to be made into a bottle again. Or, you know, fiberglass, there's a couple other things. But yeah, drinks containers is the largest volume of what it gets turned back into.
Okay, so that still is possible.
And it happens all the time. But again, unless you understand the economics of the difference between batch and cullet, you know, raw material and recycled material and the pricing and economics of the situation, it's hard to come up with solutions like you're asking for.
Okay. No, that's the point. That's what I'm trying to get a handle on, is that we need, there needs to be a sense that we're looking for making highways with old glass instead of assuming that everything is going to be done.
Yeah. And I think you hit the button on the head right there. So the function and the equation is still the same as I described, you know, collection, decontamination, logistics, transportation to a facility that can do something with it. Someone's going to be smart out there and create a market to where a ton of pulverized glass pavement is cheaper than a ton of pavement, you know, with other materials in it, because they figured out how to work the equation that I've listed. Gotcha. And that's why we've succeeded. I mean, Refresh Glass has been awarded Recycling Small Business of the Year for our state of Arizona. I've gotten to go to the United States Environmental Protection Agency for the, you know, Recycling Innovation Fair, because the amount of tons that we're using in material that is just going in the landfill, you know what I mean? Like actually with all the other garbage, which is highly unfortunate in many cases.
Right. No, and that's the thing that's always just surprised me, is that glass is recyclable and so much of it ends up in landfills. Do you see a chance where we're going to see some technology, they're going to be able to do other things with recycled glass than just make, you know, bottles out of them? Or, I mean, is our highways possible? Is aluminum siding, is fiberglass siding possible?
Yeah, there's the good news. So Europe is way ahead of North America in recycling. And I've talked to people about this hyper specifically. And the answer to this question is also very simple. They've been forced to get better at recycling because they don't have space for landfill like we do here in North America. So just purely geography and space limitations has caused them to have stricter laws. Like, you'll get fined if you put a wine bottle into the trash in many countries in Europe. And we all love to think that they're just more progressive and ahead of us, but they don't really have a choice but to not be more stringent than we are in the States or, you know, in North America, because they just don't have the room for the extra material to bury it, you know, and waste has to be treated carefully or else it can cause sickness and disease. I mean, at the fundamental level. So the answer to your question is now, with a combination of factors, with COVID and all of the medical health awareness, with global warming, with the just ethos of the growing generations, the Zers and beyond, corporations know that they have to show that they're really making more than impact, more than just words on their impact, you know, insert the three letters here, ESG, CSR, page, people are going to call bull on them, you know, if they're not really doing something, just because of the Google effect, because now you can look that stuff up. And it's part of the reason why we're growing is because we help people show I'm doing it and I support these sorts of initiatives and check out what our gifts are, you know, and it is a big part of the way I've leveraged us achieving more recycling in terms of tons removed from the community. But what I think you're really looking for is now there's more impact funding, there's more investment, there's more opportunities to get angel investing, to get grants, to get corporate backing for these types of innovations that you're asking about, you know, so turning glass into asphalt or whatnot.
Okay. Hey, man, this is great. Thank you so much for this. You've answered a question and explained it in English, too, even using recycling jargon. It actually makes sense. I appreciate that. It's been terrific. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, this is Jeff Siegel, the wine curmudgeon. Thanks again to Ray Del Muro of Refresh Glass. And so long again. Until next time.